A warmer, friendly hello! Welcome to lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Oops with myself, Greg Oops Peterson, now part of the VEASAN Family Podcast. We've got an excellent podcast for you. We're going to be joined in segment number two by one of our good friends, Rob Donaldson, who does such great work with the show slash podcast, Rob's Best Bets, and we're going to be chatting it up with him about what we all saw in the Final Four. We did it with a few minutes remaining in that Michigan versus Arizona game, but by then, as you know, if you were watching that game got completely out of hand, so that was a lot of fun. And additionally, with our good friend Rob, we're going to be taking a look at what we're going to be getting in the title game. We both give our, shall we say, best guess as to what we think the line is going to be, and mine was very, very close, so I'll give myself a little bit of credit there. And then in the final segment, I'm going to get you guys picks and analysis on both games that we've got here on this College Basketball Sunday, as we've got a crown championship to be awarded, and we've got an NIT title to be rewarded as we hit some bank shots. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you, for this podcast, you do have one or two ways to be able to fire those in. First one is my Twitter slash X timeline at GNet underscore 81. Keep in mind, letters DM, they mean does not matter. So as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. And the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it's very much appreciated. And then from there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. While I did not get in any Twitter slash X questions, we had ourselves a great day of college basketball on Saturday. A very interesting Final Four and two good crown games as well. Let's take a look back at it, try to find some trends, and try to get to know these teams a little bit better.
A game from yesterday is Greg buzzing about. Here is the rowdy recap.
In what was expected to be a de facto title game, Michigan just absolutely lays waste to Arizona, 91-73. The final for Arizona, they cut the lead to 7 with a few minutes remaining in the first half. Axel Lundeborg was dealing with an injury, and it all just did not matter for Arizona. 15 out of 22 at the free throw line, but missed a lot of those early on. For Michigan, despite playing in a football stadium, they were 12 of 27 from 3-point. Trey McKinney off the bench, 4-6 from distance, 16 points. Ade Mara, he was the main man here for Michigan, 26 points, 9 rebounds, a pair of blocks, and then you had Elliot Cadu give you a double-double, 13 points, 10 assists. Did just go 5 of 17 from the floor, but still more than good enough to be able to get the job done. Morris Johnson was able to give you 10 points. And for Arizona, Ivan Karchanov, hopefully I got that correct, just 6 points in this game. You expected a little bit more there. Toby Awaka was able to give the team 9 rebounds. And Arizona actually wins the rebound battle 44-40. They lose the turnover battle 14-13, but many of those turnovers for Michigan came when the walk-ons were in. So Michigan, nice clean domination there. And then in the early game, UConn 71-62. They get the job done over Illinois. Illinois just 6 of 26 from 3-point. Keaton Wagler was able to put in their 20 points. Tomislav Avicic, 16 points. Lone two guys that got to double figures for UConn, 15 out of 17 at the free throw line. They do lose the rebound battle by a count of 44-37, but Illinois' inability to generate turnovers, they were dead last in the country in terms of turnovers generated, that hurt them here. They lose the turnover battle 8-4, and Terrace Reed, solid double-double here, 17 points, 11 rebounds. And then if you take a look at the true crown games as well, we want to be laying a little bit of respect to them. You saw one over and one under with West Virginia. They absolutely lay it on Creighton, 87-70 the final. For Creighton, just 6 of 25 from 3-point. And yet for West Virginia, DJ turn it up Thomas off the bench with 20 points, a double-double for Chance Moore off the bench. He did give you more, 10 points, 13 rebounds. For West Virginia, they win the turnover battle 7-4. They win the rebound battle 39-29. Go just 5 of 11 at the free throw line, but they do a nice job getting the job done out there. And then for Oklahoma, how about what they were able to do? 82-69. They get the win over Baylor. They led this game throughout, so they're going to face another former Big 12 team in the final. As for Oklahoma, 8 of 22 from 3-point range. Nigel Pack packed it in with 14 points, 4 assists. Xavier Brown, 21 points, 6 boards, 6 assists. And for Baylor, 6 of 30 from 3-point range. So that helped you out to an under there. And if you take a look at what we've gotten here in college basketball this season, it has been an underdogs and an underdog season. 2,915 unders, 2,831 overs. So 50.7% of games going under, and the underdogs hitting still at 51.5% for the year. 2,957 and 2,788 against the spread. If you look at the last 7 days in college basketball, though, a lot of the big boy games, 7 overs to 3 unders. So the Elite Eight, the big games that we've been seeing in the NIT, a lot of them have been going over, and the favorites have went 6-4 in these games. So that's where we're seeing college basketball right now, and that's where we're all getting trend-wise. Coming next, let's unpack a little bit more of what we saw from the Final Four, take a look forward to Monday's title game, and take a look at the crown and the NIT titles as well with our good friend Rob Donaldson right here on Coast to Coast with myself, Greg Peterson, now a part of the VEASAN Family Podcast. Inside Edge's college basketball season? Well, VSiN experts use CBB Analytics, the most comprehensive college basketball analytics platform in the world. See injury impact on and off data, clutch time performance metrics, first versus second half splits, and so much more. Utilize the promo code of VSIN, that is VSIN, to get $30 off and find your betting edge over at CBBAnalytics.com. That is CBBAnalytics, all one word, .com. For anyone that is new to VSIN, well, I wish you a friendly hello. This is an attention to anyone that is new to VSIN because you're able to get some free stuff with our daily newsletter. It's a great way to catch up on everything that's happening in the sports betting world. It's delivered straight to your inbox every single morning. VSIN's newsletter offers picks, data, strategies for the day's betting menu, and so much more. Sign up for free today over at VSIN.com/newsletter. That's VSIN.com/newsletter, and start receiving your free newsletter tomorrow morning. That is VSIN.com/newsletter. Stay ahead of the game and bet smarter with VSIN. Here, lovey Las Vegas for Cusco Soups with myself, Greg Eves Peterson, now part of the VSIN Family Podcast. Always great to be joined by this man as we've got Rob Donaldson aboard. He does such a great job with the show/podcast, Rob's Best Bets. He does great work over at Underdog Fantasy. He's dialed into this great game of college basketball, and you're able to follow him on the old Twitter/X at RobDFB altogether. And Rob, it's always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for having me on, Greg. And obviously, we're recording this right in kind of the back end of this Michigan-Arizona game, and yeah, Michigan might be a juggernaut. I think that's what we're taking away here, and I know that the season's coming down to a final few games here in the Crown, NIT, and obviously on Monday we have the championship, but I just gotta say, man, it's been a great season covering ball with you. It's been really fun.
It has been a lot of fun, and just what did you make out of the beatdown that we saw from Michigan? As we're recording this, by the way, Michigan up 86-64 with 4:30 remaining, so unless if the comeback of the century quite literally happens, Michigan is going to win this game very comfortably, and I thought that this was going to be the de facto title game. I thought that this was going to be a great game, and this was not a great game.
I think it kind of speaks more volumes about Michigan, because obviously in non-con, we saw them just run through some perceivably talented teams and just win by like margins we didn't even think were feasible. And when you do look at this side, this team, just on a paper standpoint, you look at the dimensions, you look at the players' names, you look at where they are in just their college 10 years, and you're seeing a lot of experience, you're seeing a lot of crazy size. And then when you put the, you know, the film on, or you're watching a game live, whatever it is, they're crazy athletic and they're crazy deep. And obviously Dusty May, he's a guy who's been to the Final Four. He's made runs with Florida Atlantic. And last year, heck, they made a run with Michigan as well in year one. He just might be one of the top three coaches in all the sport. I think that's being solidified this season. And yeah, that's my takeaway. I think Michigan might be a juggernaut, and we'll see if they can replicate this year over year.
Yep. I mean, my goodness, this has been absolutely insane what we have seen. And how do you think that UConn is going to be able to step up? Because I do think that as much as you want to talk up Dusty May, right now, Dan Hurley just continues to back it up that he's an amazing coach. Amazing in how badly he treats refs, but an amazing coach, to say the least. And UConn, they find a way to get the job done against Illinois. And what sort of shot do you give them? Because UConn hasn't been like dominant in really any of their games here in the NCAA tournament, but they just keep finding a way to get the job done.
I'll say this, because to your point, you know, UConn's won in a multitude of ways. They've won with Terrace Reed just going absolutely haywire and being an absolute beast on the floor from a rebounding standpoint, from finishing around the bucket standpoint, and then they've had really crazy shot making. I mean, they threw up a lot of threes. They didn't hit a high percentage against Illinois, but they were getting good looks from the perimeter, and again, we know the sight lines in a football stadium, it can be difficult to knock down jumpers. They hit enough jumpers to really kind of make that a comfortable win on the back end of that game. And I think from UConn's standpoint, and really just kind of examining how they are going to look against Michigan in the title game, I tend to think that Michigan obviously is going to win, but this is where we can kind of have fun, because spreads exist for a reason, right? I mean, Michigan coming off of this beatdown of Arizona, what is that line going to look like? You know, I don't think they're just going to roll with what Bartorvik and Kempom are spitting out from the automated system. I think they're going to potentially beef it up to kind of account for what we're seeing from Michigan tonight. And that could really end up being a buy point for UConn if the number looks right on the spread.
Oh, and I'm so glad that you mentioned that, because right now we are doing this at the perfect time to where we pretty much know the results of this game. But as of right now, we do not have a number up for this Michigan versus UConn game. What's a number that you had in mind? Because for me, I'm thinking like Michigan 7, 7.5 point favorite. What would you make this?
Before this game started, Arizona, Michigan, I thought the winner of the game would be laying 6.5 or 7.5 points against UConn. And now, when you're accounting for potentially, you know, what could be a 20-plus point win for Michigan, where they dominated wire-to-wire, it could have been a 40-point win if Yaxel Lindeborg's playing that game. I truly don't know. I mean, maybe we just kind of get that little bit of a nudge up to, like, an 8.5. But we saw, you know, a couple years back when UConn was playing San Diego State, we saw a line that was 11.5, 12.5 in some spots. And so I think it would be surprising if it got up that high. But it's kind of hard-pressed for me to not expect it to get above kind of where we were pegging it at that 6.5 or 7.5 type of line.
Yeah, I was leaning towards 6.5 prior to this game. I had to go with 7.5 personally because Michigan, they look so dominant, and I want to take into account just how they look in a converted football stadium as well. So I think that that's going to be interesting. And what do you think would be the one way that UConn could be able to hold in this game? Because UConn has been a good three-point shooting defense all season long. They've been rock solid there, but I do think that for as good as Terrace Reed is down low, I think there might be just too much size for Michigan in this game.
And, you know, it'll be interesting because from what it looks like and what we're getting from in-game reports on Yaxel Lindeborg, he's dealing with a knee injury and also an ankle injury in the same leg. And the adrenaline that he's having right now, it was kind of carrying him through it. And after, you know, post-injury, he played for about 5 or 6 minutes after that injury. And we'll see what a day rest looks like. It actually might be a negative, to be honest. He might be sparingly used, or he might not be used at all, and it certainly won't be full strength. And so from that standpoint, I think you look at Ade Mara versus Terrace Reed, right? Because Ade Mara, ever since Yaxel left this game, has been going on a tear. He's imposing his size. He's hitting mid-range jumpers. He's collecting every board, collecting every alley-oop, and throwing it down. He's unstoppable down low because Michigan has so many different ways that they can kill you. And heck, Morris Johnson coming off the bench, I mean, he is playing phenomenal in the Axel stead. And so ultimately, it's just how can UConn stymie the size and the rim running of Michigan? I don't know if they have the horses to do it. So I think the formula for UConn is truly just kind of hitting shots. They're going to be the inferior team no matter what. Luckily for them, I think they're the better, more natural three-point shooting team. And so if UConn's going to make a run at a win in this game, I think it's going to come down to their performance behind the perimeter, which has kind of been up and down in this tournament.
Yep, I do think that that is going to be really interesting to be diving in on. And with this UConn team, getting back Silas Demery to a little bit more of, shall we say, 100%, because he's been dealing with injury throughout the tournament, I think that that's going to help them out as well. But man, they certainly have their work cut out for them. And certainly when it comes to the rest of the college basketball season, we've got our work cut out for us to find winners, because we've only got 3 games left. Obviously, a lot of people take a look at the NCAA tournament, but how do you take a look at the Crown and the NIT coming up for Sunday? Because obviously there are great betting opportunities here, and there are titles on the line on Sunday. Even though some might not recognize it, there will be trophies handed out on Sunday.
I look at a team like an Auburn, and you know, whether it's right or wrong, and I have my certain opinions that they should have been left out of the tournament definitively. I didn't think they were a tournament team, but it kind of feels like they're using that snub from the tournament as motivation, because they got snubbed in place of the mid-majors, right? Miami of Ohio getting over them was kind of the debate, and now they're in the NIT alongside a lot of top-end mid-majors. And it feels like they're just treating it as if, you know, this is their statement to the future committees that might judge them on this line of, hey, look at what we're doing to the top end mid majors across basketball. You know, whether it's a fair argument or a fair, you know, placement of their fuel or motivation, I don't think it matters to them, right? They're going out there and they're winning the games and winning by margins that I think are very, very comfortable. On Sunday, they're laying 5 points against a Tulsa team that is very good, but is going to be out athletically, you know, matched by Auburn in this game. And if Auburn is hitting the shots that they did against Illinois State the last time out, I mean, this could be a 24-20 point type of win. And that's why I'm 100% definitively laying it with the Tigers on Sunday.
Yep, and with Auburn, they looked very beastly in that game against Illinois State. Now, Auburn has not guarded the 3-point line all season long. Do you think that the 160.5 total might be in play for an over? Because with Auburn, the offense has been good, and, well, the defense has not been.
Yeah, because I 100% think that Tulsa can get to the 70 mark, and I think Auburn's going to live in the high 80s, 90s, and maybe have a chance to hit the century mark. It's the last game of the season. I think they're going to go out there and let their guys play, and I think they're going to be playing free the entire game. So, yeah, absolutely. And you even have the upside of Tulsa really getting off the bus, hitting jumpers the way that they do, and that could be just a really fun back and forth through an entire half of basketball. So I 100% look at that total on the over, and I want every piece of that. I wouldn't want to have any stake on the under in this game.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And then anything with regards to the crown, with Oklahoma find themselves a 3 to 3.5 point favorite in what is a classic Big 12 showdown between teams that used to be in the same conference.
Right. No, yeah, it used to be a big brand matchup, and now it's just kind of like weird to look at this and think of it like as like a separate conference sort of matchup, I guess. And when you look at Oklahoma, obviously they're known for their guard play, the NIL investment that they had this offseason in Xavier Brown, Nigel Pack, and West Virginia on the other side, right? They've had Trayson Eagelstaff, they have Mark Honor. And I think from that standpoint, it's going to be a fun kind of back and forth matchup. I think the over is a great look, but ultimately, I think Oklahoma has more horses. And it kind of feels like West Virginia has, I don't know, that Stanford game was definitively a game that they should have lost. They made a miracle comeback. Great for them. It's been a rough season for West Virginia. It's been a rough season for Oklahoma. But in terms of kind of the down stretch and just the amount of talent on both sides, I do give it to Oklahoma, and so I'm willing to lay that 3.5 point line, almost begrudgingly so, but it's one of the last few games that we have. I'm going to have some action on it there.
Oh, absolutely. I'm in on Oklahoma as well. They were one of the few teams I think actually had a little bit of a gripe to try to get into the NCAA tournament. So we'll see if they can prove us right there. And Rob, you've been doing a great job all year breaking down this great game of college basketball with me. I'm sure that you'll be on in the offseason talking about these coaching moves, the 100 million billion guys that enter in the transfer portal, and so much more as well. So let the good people at home know it's all on tap for you and how people can follow along on social media and other platforms.
Well, hey, Greg, it's been a blast talking hoops with you all season long. It's so bittersweet, these final games, and obviously the big onesie battle didn't deliver the way we wanted to. Regardless, for those who want to follow my bets on a daily basis, whether it's in college basketball, Major League Baseball, or college football later on this year, Twitter/X at RobDFB, and also on my YouTube channel, which is just my name, Rob Donaldson. But as always, Greg, I appreciate having me on, man.
Absolutely. Rob is doing such a great job looking at this wonderful sport of college basketball every single time he joins me. He lends such great insights, and he did so once again today. So big thanks to Rob for joining me on Coast to Coast Hoops, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. Coming up next, it is that time of the podcast to give you picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this college basketball Sunday. All two of them as we hit the big shots. Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family of Podcasts. Always great to be joined by Rob Donaldson, who does such amazing work with the show/podcast Rob's Best Bets. Every single time he joins me, he lends such great insights and did so once again today. So big thanks to Rob for joining me in the last segment. Now it is that time of the podcast. I give you picks and analysis on both games on the betting board for this college basketball Sunday as we hit some bank shots.
Most financial establishments close at a certain time, but not here. It is time for a side and total on every game on today's betting board bank shots.
Do note that as per usual, any changes that are made to these plays will be listed up on my Twitter/X feed at GUnit_E1. We're going to be going in the Las Vegas rotation order. Very easy, that's time order because we've only got two games today. The Crown Final and then the NIT Final. So let's get things started with 653, 654. Oklahoma and West Virginia do battle from lovely Las Vegas. Oklahoma currently the -3 favorite on that opener and the total is 137. And I did some total out of 140. I do like the over. Now, West Virginia did enter into Saturday 27th in the country in terms of points allowed on a per possession basis, but giving up 18.9 points more per 100 possessions in games played away from home rather than at home. And when they were on the road, 291st in the country in opponents' 3-point shooting percentage, as they're allowing teams to be able to shoot right in that neighborhood about 36.6% from three. In Oklahoma, 43rd in the country in their 3-point shooting percentage at 36.4%. Nigel Pack, obviously, this is not quite the Final Four like he partook in many years ago for Miami, but you have to feel like he wants to end his career on a high note as he and Xavier Brown combined for about 32 points per game. Really good backcourt. Now for Oklahoma, they entered into yesterday 250th in terms of points allowed on a per possession basis, so that's not necessarily great, but you do have Muhammad Wagyu, who's able to give you about 7 points, 7 boards per game, and then Harlan Obion on the flip side for West Virginia. Pretty good big guy that's been able to give you about 5 or so rebounds per game, so he's been rock solid there. Chance Moore gives you more along Tracing Eagle Staff. They combine for 20 points per game, but Eagle Staff has been hot and cold all season long. It's a West Virginia team that only shoots about 32.5% from three outside the top 250 there, and for Oklahoma, top 55 team and opponent's two-point shooting percentage away from home as well. Also, if you take a look at this game and you think that it's going to be tight, West Virginia shoots 68.4% of the free throw line, right around about 316th in all of college basketball, though they've been set on the inside. West Virginia, top 30 team with regards to opponent's two-point shooting percentage. On or off, he puffs, he gives you 16 points per game, and it is a West Virginia team that's looking to play very slow and controlled. 344th in the country in terms of total possessions, bringing Oklahoma much more of a mid-tempo team at about 145th, but do think that this is close enough for late fellas, and I think that the Oklahoma offense wins out. Like the over, somebody told at a 140 and willing to lay up to 4.5 with Oklahoma, made them the 5-point favorite. Wrap things up with 655-656 from the great state of Indiana. Tulsa and Auburn do battle. Auburn is a 5.5 to a 6-point favorite here in the NIT final. 160.5 to 161 is the total. I won't take the points with Tulsa. I did set them as an underdog of 5 points. Tulsa, 17th in the country in terms of points scored on a per possession basis while shooting 38.9% from 3-point range. That is number 5 in all of college basketball. Auburn, they just haven't been good on defense. 286th in points allowed on a per possession basis. 345th in opponent's 3-point shooting percentage at 37.1%. Now the Auburn offense is solid as well. 27th in the country in terms of points per possession. They're a top 25 team in terms of offensive rebound percentage, rebounding 34.5% of their misses as an offensive rebound, but Tulsa's not awful in terms of their defensive rebound percentage. I'm not going to say that they completely shut you down, but a guy like an Ian Smichael is able to give you about 4 rebounds per game. Tyler Barron has been able to give you 5+ rebounds per game. Tulsa allows opponents to grab about 26.9% of their misses as an offensive rebound. That is 114th in all of college basketball. Auburn's more like 189th with their defensive rebound percentage. Tylan Riley, Miles Barnstable, David Green, all three of these guys have been rock solid for Tulsa. I'll give you at least 14.7 points per game. Green shoots 39% for three. Barnstable shoots 41% from the outside. And Auburn is 9th in the country in terms of free throws attempted on a per possession basis, but Tulsa's a top one on our team in terms of fewest free throw attempts allowed per opponent's field goal attempt. So they don't allow you to get to the free throw line a ton. And then you've had Adi Papula, who's really been able to pop off, 41% 3-point shooter for Tulsa's, had himself a really nice second half of the season. And for Auburn, much of their edge down low is now gone because Keshawn Murphy decided to opt out of the NIT. They have been able to get quite a bit of production out of Keyshawn Hall. He's been the main man all season long, 19.5 points, shoots 38% for three, 7 rebounds per game. Taj Bedford, he's been able to give the team over 15 points, 3.5 assists per game, but a sub 30% 3-point shooter, he's been a little bit of an issue. Elijah Freeman gives you good production. He's been able to throw in there about 9 to 10 points per game, shoots in the mid-30s from three, 5 rebounds per contest, but I do think that Tulsa is going to be able to exploit a really bad 3-point shooting defense of Auburn and be able to hold in there. So I did set my line at a 5, so anything above 5, tank the points with Tulsa. I like the over. I saw my total at a 163, and that'll wrap things up for the Sunday edition of Coast to Coast Hoops, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. Big thanks to our guy, Rob Donaldson, who does such great work with the show/podcast, Rob's Best Bets, for joining me in the last segment. If you do like hearing from this fine podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, you're able to subscribe wherever your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, segment, idea, what have you, for this podcast, you'll have 1 of 2 ways to be able to throw those in. First one is my Twitter/X timeline at gunit_81. Keep in mind, letters EM, they mean does not matter. So, as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. The other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it's very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Coming at you guys every single day with picks and analysis on every game every day. And once the picks and analysis are done, well, we're going to be looking at the transfer portal, all these coaching moves, and so much more. There's 365 days this year. You're going to get a fresh podcast on every single day. So I'll be back with you once again tomorrow. Thank you.